of some have compassion, making a difference. March 9, 1902. Typed. Of some have compassion, making a difference. Jude 22. My heart aches as I think of the work to be done in the Lord's vineyard. Night after night I lie awake, praying for help. At times I am so filled with grief and sorrow that I can only plead with the Lord not to cast off His undutiful, slothful children. Hour after hour in the night season, I walk the floor of my room, thinking of how disappointed Jesus must be when He sees so few of His followers willing to wear His yoke and learn the lesson of humility and submission. There is before us a great problem. How shall we work the southern field? View after view has been given me of this field, but a description of this subject taxes my powers. A work that God approves has been done in the south. God has wrought with the workers, but there is much more to be done. Every movement made in this field must be made intelligently. There are men who can do acceptable service in the south, but it is impossible for those who have not visited this field, who have not gained an experience in working for those in the south, to understand what this work demands. The work will not be done by those who wait for all difficulties to be removed. In the fear of the Lord, go to work for this neglected, unworked field. As you strive to do something, you will receive help from on high. You are not alone. Christ declares, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 19, 20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Verse 19. This means more than preaching an occasional sermon. All classes are to be taught by wise teachers, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Isaiah 6, verse 1-4. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, "Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord, saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." Verses 5-8. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following. Mark 16, verse 15-20. These words outline the work of the members of the Church of God. To him who cooperates with the great medical missionary is promised the presence of Christ in accomplishing his great work. God's workers are not to center their forces in one place, as if establishing memorials for God in that one place were all that was required of them. Christ's word is, "Lo, I am with you alway. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Matthew 28, verse 20-19. The Savior is to be lifted up in every city. Let those who feel the burden of the work make no delay, and let no one place hindrances in the way of the workers, causing them to stumble and lose courage. To crowd the work into one place, as it has been crowded into Battle Creek, is not God's plan. This mistake is to be avoided in places in which in the future the work shall be established. If those who claim to understand the scriptures misinterpret them in practice, making but feeble efforts to press forward with the truth into new territory, they cannot expect to have God's blessing. The work of God has been so manifestly neglected by those claiming to be teachers that unless a change takes place, the Lord will greatly humble His people, who, as they have received a knowledge, have not gone forth as Christ has commissioned them. When God's people are humble enough to wear the yoke of Christ, to learn from Him the lesson of meekness and lowliness of heart, He will give them success in their work for Him. When they have learned what it means to find rest in service, they will be able to say from experience, "Christ's yoke is easy, and His burden is light." See Matthew 11, verse 30. A mightier power than any power of earth works with those who give themselves unreservedly to the Lord. As they go forth with Him as their companion, learning at every step how to reveal His meekness and lowliness, depending on Him for strength and efficiency, they receive power to do His work. To every consecrated, unselfish worker who goes forth realizing that he has a responsibility and an individuality of his own, and that Christ will supply his need, the promise is fulfilled: "Ye shall receive power." Acts 1, verse 8. Of such workers, as of the first disciples, it is said, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirming the word with signs following." Mark 16, verse 20. Workers for God will have success only as they surrender themselves wholly to Him. Paul's words to the Corinthians should be studied: "For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3-5. "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For ye are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Verses 6-15. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God." This is most important instruction, to which we should all take heed. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Refuse to be contaminated by the sophistry of Satan's insinuations. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Jude 20, 21. Do not depend on human aid. Only the mercy of Christ can keep you. "And of some have compassion, making a difference." Verse 22. Those who are wise in the wisdom born of God will see souls in need of help, souls who have been overcome, and who, though they have sincerely repented, would scarcely dare, without encouragement, to lay hold of hope. The Lord will put it into the hearts of those who are stewards of His grace to welcome these trembling, repentant souls to their loving fellowship. His true followers will not treat sinners as if they were beyond forgiveness. They will have compassion on those whose circumstances have been unfavorable and who have allowed Satan to lead them in forbidden paths. These souls have sinned against God, but if they repent and show the genuineness of their repentance by earnest efforts to serve the Lord, who shall dare forbid them? Encourage them. Give them an opportunity to regain what they have lost. Pride, covetousness, sensuality may have been their besetting sins. Point out their errors, but not in a way that will drive them from Christ. By words of loving compassion, draw them to Him. However low they may have fallen, do not destroy their hope of pardon. Labor for them, pray with them, point them to the Redeemer. And when in repentance and contrition they come to Him, give them something to do for Him. If they desire to labor to save others from the pit of destruction from which they themselves were rescued, give them room to work. If possible, connect them with the work of God, that by association with believers they may gain spiritual strength. Do not allow them to drift away. Set them at work winning souls to Christ. Fill their hearts and hands with work for the Master. Let them do all in their power to work for Christ. Do not set them apart from you as those you cannot trust. If they have learned their lesson of test and trial, they know how to pity those who are tempted as they were. By earnest, Christ-like efforts, men will be convicted and converted, and God will speak pardon to them. Let no one turn away a soul who leaves the service of Satan and asks Jesus for pardon. Of some have compassion, making a difference. Verse 22. When they give evidence that the Spirit of God is striving with them, present to them every encouragement for entering the Lord's service. Do not discourage them by indifference, by drawing away from them with an air of, "I am holier than thou." Isaiah 65, verse 5. Those who act as Pharisees may not be guilty of exactly the same sins they condemn in others, but they may be guilty of sins much greater in the sight of God. Each will be rewarded according to his work. Let those who condemn others take heed to themselves, lest they be condemned by God for Phariseeism. Listen to Paul's charge to Timothy. I charge thee therefore before God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, 2. Ministers of the gospel have a most solemn work to do. They are to be wise in their work and earnest in their efforts. At the end of each year they should be able to look back and see souls drawn to Christ as the result of their labors. By the faithful practice of truth and by self-sacrificing labor for those out of Christ, they are to show that they have received their credentials from heaven. The messenger of truth may show by his spirituality that his message is from God and that he is earnestly trying to do what Christ would do in his place. The attributes of Christ are his. The evils of sins are behind him and the victory before him. Those to whom God gives a message understand the meaning of the assurance that God keeps his faithful servants steadfast amid all trials and gives them the victory over their enemies in the name of Jesus. Those who work for God will be placed in positions similar to that of Joseph in Egypt. They are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. They are to be quick to see and avoid the seductions of the enemy. Although they are not to be afraid of men, they are to beware of evil men who choose to continue in sin. In no case is the servant of God to give these men an opportunity to cover their wickedness by his sins. Some he is to save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to denounce the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. Jude 23, Titus 1, verse 9, 10. When a sinner is aroused, convicted, and converted, led by the Spirit of God to repent of his wrong course, shall God's followers take no part in encouraging and helping him? He has been rescued by the grace of God. The Lord has reached down and lifted him from his degradation, saying, "Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me." Isaiah 27, verse 5. And shall his fellow beings draw apart from him, saying, "I have no faith in his reformation"? Great in the sight of God is the sin of those who refuse to help a fellow man in his dire necessity, refuse to guide his feet to the straight gate for which many are vainly seeking. Let those who have been tempted restore such an one. They have themselves been in danger of dishonoring God by committing sin, and they should remove the stumbling blocks from his way by ridding their lives of all inconsistency. In his mercy, God has pardoned them, and by blameless conduct they are to lead the erring to him. Remembering their mistakes and failures, they should have an intense sympathy for those who have stumbled and fallen. The strongest evidence they can give that they are truly converted is an intense desire to remove every stumbling block out of the way of the souls Satan is seeking to destroy. Remember that to the repenting sinner, Christ says, "Thy sins are forgiven thee. Go in peace and sin no more." Let everyone who has received the grace of God help others by revealing Christ-likeness of character. Let them, by the influence of restraining grace and inspiring courage, help the poor souls who are trying to get out of the slough of sin and corruption. Those who manifest real goodness, showing kindness and courtesy to all, revealing love and compassion to the erring, are the objects of God's favor. He gives them his richest blessings to impart to others. When accused by the Pharisees of eating and drinking with publicans and sinners, Christ answered, "I came not to call the righteous, the self-righteous, but sinners to repentance." Mark 2, verse 17. Those who work for Christ are to reveal the love he revealed for sinners. This love is to be shown much more plainly than it has been. Christians are to seek and save that which is lost. Sinners are to be made witnesses for Christ. Those who have made mistakes are not to be thrown aside as hopeless. They are the ones whom those who are laborers together with God are to pull out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Jude 23. With hearts filled with the love of Christ, we are to labor for the erring, placing them where they can work for others, where they can show others the tenderness showed to them, revealing the grace that was the means of their conversion. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm 19, verse 7. His word is as the leaves of the tree of life, which are for the healing of the nations. The Bible is God's word to us, and we are to receive it as such. From it, we are to learn how to work in Christ's lines to seek and save the lost. When men and women are converted to the truth, they learn through the word that to every man and to every woman is given his or her work. No one is to be idle, and no one is to keep busy merely to please and amuse self. There are works of usefulness to be done, requiring diligence and perseverance. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, 20. May the Lord help each one to realize that there is stern, earnest work to be done. May he help believers to remember that in the home, in the church, and in the world, they are to work the works of Christ. Those who are commissioned to bear the messages of truth to the world are not to exalt self. They are not to seek to attach men to themselves, nor to any other human leader. Ever they are to point men to Jesus, saying, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1, verse 29. We are not left to work alone. The angels are ministering spirits, sent forth to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. And Christ is our helper. Then draw harder and still harder, exerting every power in God's service. In all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Hebrews 2, verse 17, 18. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. Hebrews 5, verse 1, 2. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Hebrews 12, verse 12 to 14. Those who receive Christ become by faith the sons and daughters of God. They are His obedient children, trained for the highest service. As stewards of His grace, they labor for the salvation of souls, and success crowns their efforts. But they realize that all their success comes from God, and that to Him belongs the glory. They show their fidelity by rightly imparting the truth. Filled with the love of Christ, they proclaim the truth in word and in deed.